Marriage isn't simply a legal arrangement or romantic partnership. It's a profound journey that transforms two individuals into something greater than themselves. In our culture that simultaneously idealizes romance while questioning commitment, Timothy Keller's insights cut through the noise with refreshing clarity. Marriage isn't primarily about finding personal happiness, but about mutual service and growth. When we shift from asking, "What can I get?" to "What can I give?", everything changes. This perspective isn't just idealistic, it's deeply practical. Couples who approach their relationship with a service mindset consistently report greater satisfaction and longevity in their marriages. Think about your daily interactions with your partner or close friends. How often do you begin by asking what they need rather than focusing on your own desires? This simple shift creates space for transformation rather than mere transaction. Have you ever noticed that some of the most genuinely free people live within clear boundaries? There's a profound paradox at work in marriage. True freedom comes through commitment, not despite it. While contemporary culture often portrays marriage as confining, the proverbial ball and chain, research consistently shows that people who make and keep commitments report greater life satisfaction than those who avoid them. The marriage covenant creates what Keller calls a sanctuary of trust, where both partners can be fully known without fear of rejection. When you know your spouse won't leave when you reveal your flaws, you can be authentic rather than performing to maintain their approval. When disagreements won't end the relationship, you can work through conflict honestly. The security of covenant creates freedom to be fully yourself and to grow beyond yourself. Few topics generate more heated debate than gender roles in marriage. Some hear roles and imagine rigid stereotypes confining women to the kitchen and men to the workplace. Others fear that abandoning all gender distinctions leads to confusion. The biblical vision offers a surprising alternative, presenting gender differences not as arbitrary restrictions, but as complementary strengths, creating a beautiful dance of mutual submission. A husband embracing servant leadership sacrificially puts his wife's needs before his own, listening before deciding, and using any authority for her benefit rather than his comfort. A wife embracing the helper role demonstrates active strength that supports, nurtures, and, when necessary, challenges her husband toward greater faithfulness. The beauty of this model is that it creates space for endless variety in how these roles express themselves based on each couple's unique gifts and circumstances. When approached with curiosity rather than judgment, these mysterious differences become sources of growth rather than frustration. What does a book about marriage have to say to those who aren't married? Quite a lot. Keller elevates singleness from second-class status to a vital and valued state with its own unique opportunities. Our culture sends mixed messages, either viewing singles as somehow incomplete or glorifying singleness as superior freedom. Both extremes miss the biblical vision, where both marriage and singleness are presented as valid, meaningful callings with different purposes. For single Christians, this perspective transforms the waiting period from frustrating limbo to purposeful living. Rather than viewing singleness as merely preparation for marriage, it becomes a platform for unique service and ministry. The single years offer unparalleled opportunities for spiritual growth, service to others, and development of deep friendships that married people with family responsibilities might find more difficult to pursue. This doesn't minimize the very real challenges of singleness, the loneliness, unfulfilled desires, the lack of a built-in companion. These struggles deserve honest acknowledgement rather than simplistic platitudes. Our culture is obsessed with sex, yet profoundly confused about its meaning. We're bombarded with messages presenting sex as either recreational activity, divorced from commitment, or a taboo subject too embarrassing to discuss openly. Both extremes miss the profound vision presented in Scripture, simultaneously more passionate and more purposeful than our culture imagines. Surprisingly to many, the Bible speaks positively and even enthusiastically about sexual pleasure within marriage. The Song of Solomon contains erotic poetry celebrating physical intimacy between husband and wife without apology. At its core, sex in marriage serves as a powerful physical enactment of covenant promises. Each time a married couple comes together physically, they're essentially renewing their vows with their bodies, saying again, "I am completely yours" in the most vulnerable way possible. This explains why sex has such profound emotional and spiritual dimensions beyond physical pleasure. It's designed to be the most complete expression of the one-flesh union that marriage creates. Every marriage faces what Keller calls the great problem: how to balance truth and love when our spouse's flaws become painfully apparent. The person whose approval we most desperately need is also the one who sees our worst failures. The gospel provides a revolutionary model through twin practices of grace and truth. Jesus consistently demonstrated both unflinching honesty about human sin and boundless compassion toward sinners. This same pattern becomes the pathway for healthy marriage, speaking truth with grace and extending grace without compromising truth. In practice, this means developing redemptive transparency, the ability to both give and receive difficult truths within a context of unconditional acceptance. When your spouse points out your selfishness, grace allows you to hear this as help rather than attack. When you need to address your spouse's hurtful behavior, truth compels you to speak while love shapes how you speak. Forgiveness becomes the essential skill that makes this balance possible, preventing small offenses from accumulating into walls of resentment that block intimacy. What if marriage isn't primarily about present happiness, but about future transformation? Keller introduces the concept of the great horizon, seeing your spouse not merely as they are now, with all their flaws, but as the person God is shaping them to become. This vision transforms how we respond to weaknesses. Rather than merely tolerating annoying habits or resenting character flaws, we can see these as areas where God is still working, marble that hasn't yet been fully sculpted into the masterpiece it will become. This means becoming a student of your spouse, learning to recognize the glimpses of glory already visible in them. Perhaps your husband shows remarkable compassion to strangers, even while struggling with patience at home. These strengths reveal aspects of their future self already breaking through. The great horizon perspective calls us to intentionally nurture our spouse's growth rather than simply accommodating their current limitations. Marriage isn't about finding the perfect person, but about helping each other become who you're meant to be. The commitment we make isn't just to love who our spouse is today, but who they're becoming, and to walk alongside them through that transformation. This journey offers something far more meaningful than fleeting happiness: the profound joy of participating in each other's becoming.